And let's pick up the story in 2239. And this is right when, after the Lord's Supper, that the rest of the disciples come down to the Mount of Olives and they gather in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in 2239, it says, "And when he came out and went, as was accustomed, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him, and when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" Now, I want to talk to you real quick about temptation. Temptation comes, but it doesn't come from the Lord. The Lord will allow himself to test you, but he won't tempt you. What he's talking about here is the temptation of wanting to fall asleep when they're supposed to be standing guard. Verse 41 says, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed," listen to this, church, "saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.'" Listen to this. "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." I ask this question of you tonight, church. Is it your will that you're following, or is it the will of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Now's not the time to be self-indulged. We need to listen to the plan of God, and I will expound on that shortly after this. "And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him, and he began to be in agony, and he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when they arose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, 'Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" So here he is, he said it again. He said, "You're going to be tempted, you need to pray. You're going to go through tribulations, you need to pray. You're going to go through hard times, so pray. Nations and worlds, you're going to go through difficult times, so pray." I was speaking with my wife last night, and she's been reading a book on prayer, and it so opened my eyes. Just when you think you know about prayer and you're praying a lot and all that kind of stuff, I ask you this question. If one of the wisest women and the wisest man in the world was wanting to meet with you, say, once a month, wouldn't you clear your calendar just so you could meet with that person and get the wisdom that they have that they would like to share with you? Would you clear your calendar, make sure somebody had watching the kids and you had time off work? You might even take a vacation day. That's exactly what Jesus wants to do with you every single day. He wants you to put aside your calendar, put aside your situations, put aside all your stuff and pray and meet with him so you have wisdom, you have guidance through the Holy Spirit, so you have a way, a narrow way, and victory and success in Christ. Hallelujah, church. We have a date with the King tonight. He paid the ultimate price for our sin. Let no distractions come before you tonight, and let's celebrate that Jesus has conquered the cross, and he's conquered the grave and conquered sin today. Listen to this, just a couple more verses before we kind of switch gears here just a little bit. And there's no real good place to get in, and there's no real good place to get out. It just kind of all goes together. So I got to kind of read as much as I can tonight. So just think about this, and I can never leave the Garden of Gethsemane out when I'm talking about Good Friday. It just goes together. "And while he was still speaking, there came a crowd. And the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them, and he drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, 'Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?'" Jesus already knew that Judas was going to betray him. He already knew that Judas was going to lead a revolt against him. He knew that he sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. And we read the story that the guilt got so bad that he threw the 30 pieces of silver back into the temple and just was stricken with guilt. He said, "I was wrong. I was wrong. I was wrong." Verse 49, and when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And the one of them, the servant of the high priest, cut off his right ear. And Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. And I've said this before. I think that's where the fight would be over if a man can, or a God man can pick up an ear off the ground, touch the side of a man's head and be healed him automatically. And that's what we need today is supernatural healing. You have to call on a supernatural Savior, and his name is Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah and glory to the Lamb of God. All right, now we're going to start into the story of actual Good Friday, if you will, in Luke chapter 23. And we'll just go through the story, and I want to slow roll through it and bring it to you kind of in real time. Let's go back 2,000 years ago. And some of you guys might be going through a lot of emotions. I talked about that to some of my staff today. All the emotions that you've been going through with by being in your house and maybe feeling like some of your freedoms have been taken in it, and you got, you know, some people have died. We've had people, unfortunately, have passed away in our church, and it's horrible and it's horrific. And we've been really, if you will, we've been really kind of on an emotional roller coaster. Can you imagine, and do you know that Jesus Christ knows exactly what it's like to go through an emotional roller coaster? Here he is on Palm Sunday riding into Jerusalem, and everyone's saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And just days after that, people are saying, crucify, crucify. He said, are you kidding me? I just rode in here, and you know that I'm going to bring you salvation. And the next thing you know, you're trying to crucify me? Talk about emotions. Look, you can read his emotion about his emotion in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, can this cup pass before me, but not my will, but yours will be done, God? That's emotional. He understands exactly what's going on in your life because he went through hardship himself. He went through plagues, and they went through famines all through the Bible. But the one that got him through was Jehovah God, and the Word of God has led him on the straight and narrow path into glory, I say, church. Amen. Then 23 verse 1, it says, then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we have found this man misleading our nation, forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying himself, he is the Christ, a king. And Pilate asked, are you king of the Jews? And he answered, you have said so. Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, I find no guilt in this man. But they were urgent, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea and Galilee, even into this place. When Pilate heard of this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was with him in Jerusalem at the time. And when Herod saw it was Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him. I got to tell you guys, everybody's heard about him. Everybody all across the land, everyone has heard about Jesus. He is the big deal. He is the one who conquered the grave. He is the one who conquered sin. He is the one who rose 3 days later. He is the one who's sitting at the right hand of glory. Everyone knows about Jesus, especially right now in the middle of this pandemic. Say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Glory to the Lamb. I hang on that name, man. That's the name that heals you in the middle of the night. It's the name that wakes the dead and heals the people and brings comfort in the times when they're turbulent and the waters are abrupt. I know God's heart's got to be so heavy laden right now, looking down at our world saying, man, What a mess you guys have made of my place. What an absolute mess. We have allowed, say it with me, class, we have allowed this and we have allowed that and we've allowed this and we've allowed this in the name of political correctness, and it has backfired on us. That's why Jesus had to come and die, because he knew that there would be a day like this. He said, I got to die on the cross because that land is sin-riddled and baptized in sin. We got it, and me and my wife had such a great talk with my wife last night. Praise God. God has got me on my knees. And I said, I just pray that when we get through this thing, that the churches will fill back up and people will forget about the, you know, about the always having to be at a fast food restaurant and always having to buy things and always have to be at a sporting event and always have to be. Those things don't matter anymore. We're doing just fine without all that stuff right now. And if I could get an amen, go ahead and talk back to me. We're not too dressed up to shout amen anymore, are we? Amen?
Amen.
Glory to the Lord. We're living in important times today. We are going to be the church that your children and your grandchildren are going to look back and go, you know what? My daddy and my mommy and my grandma and my grandpa had a church that stood on the hill and preached the truth, and they rose up and stood against the pandemic and stood against the sickness and disease and called on the name of Jesus and repented of our sin, and he came down and he healed our land. Glory to God. Hallelujah for God's truth. All right, so back, he was very glad to see Jesus. Verse 9 says, so he questioned him at length, but made him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, accusing him with Herod, and his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Man, I'm going to tell you something right now. That's one thing we never need to do, is mock the Lord. When Jesus says something, I believe it, and that settles it. And his people said, amen. Then arraying him in splendored in clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day. Before this, they had been enemies with each other. And Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people. So we know that everyone is here in the Sanhedrin and all the big important people. He said, you brought this man as one who was misleading the people, and after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. All the charges that are flailing around, all the charges that are lying around and everything, he found no charge against this man. Verse 15 says, neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. He's saying he doesn't even deserve death. He said, this is a kangaroo court. All you're trying to do is get what you want. Here's the deal. Sometimes when we get what we want, then we say, uh-oh. We don't need this stuff. We shouldn't have got it. I shouldn't have asked for it. And when you get it, and then we have to wallow in it and ask God to take it from us again because we made a bad decision. Look at your neighbor and say, bad decision. Bad decision's what got us where we're at. That's why we go to church and ask for forgiveness and learn how to live righteous by God's rules and his decrees. We have truly found out today that our way of living does not work. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be meeting with God, our Lord and Savior, daily in prayer, church. Verse 18, so listen to this. Isn't this just like it is today? When somebody don't get their way, they just keep raising up their voice and raising up their voice because they believe they've always been taught the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Just shout louder, shout louder, shout more, shout. And if you tell it enough, everybody will believe in it. A lie's still a lie, no matter how many times it's been told, can I tell you, church? Isn't that the goal of the devil, is just to continue to lie? And if it gets told enough, everybody starts to believe, well, it's got to be the truth because they say it so much. But they cried out together, "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas." And a man who has been thrown into the prison for the insurrection started in the city for murder. So they released a murderer instead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Carl, they threw out a bargaining chip. Yeah, go ahead and let the murderer go and let's crucify Christ. Why? Because that's the way we want it. And that's why mommies and daddies don't let their children play out in the road or eat candy before dinner because they know better. They know that candy will crush the appetite and playing out in the highway is dangerous. Am I making any sense tonight, church? Pilate addressed them one more, verse 20. Desiring, he wanted to release Jesus. Wanted to release Jesus. It's just kind of like them saying they wanted Samuel as the king. He's not going to be any good. He ain't going to be any good. We still want him, though, because we want what we want when we want it, and we don't care what the cost is. Well, let me tell you something right now, guys. We have a cashed a check that we ain't got the money in the bank to hold up, and we need God to come in and pay the ransom for this sin mess we got ourselves into. I ask you today, church, do you think it's going to get better unless we call on the name of Jesus? I don't believe for one second this pandemic is going to work its way out without asking Jesus Christ to intervene here and say, "Oh, my Lord, what did we do? Please, God, here's what we ought to do. We ought to be on our knees begging God every day. Oh, God, please forgive us again. Forgive us again," and say, "We know where we screwed up. We allowed this, and we allowed this, and we allowed prayer being taken out of school, and we allowed the killing of innocent children. We've allowed the name of marriage to be this, that, and the other. Forgive us." And you say, "Well, Pastor, that's a pretty strong message. Are you telling me that we can't just live however we want and God's going to bless it?" All through the Bible, guys, God cannot bless disobedience. That's where we're at right now. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's a hard truth." The Bible is full of hard truths. I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm just a messenger. If you don't like the way it is written, then you have to take it up with the author. And it's okay if you've screwed up. It's okay if I screwed up. I screw up too. I'm in here. It stepped on my toes before it got to you. If you screwed up, ask God for forgiveness and say, "Please heal me and heal our land. Heal the way I've been living. Deliver me from the way I've been living. And let me be Holy Ghost filled so I can follow your plan for my life." It's not that simple if we just follow the book. I think I'm making sense now. Verse 21, but they kept shouting. Listen to this. This is mind-numbing. "Crucify, crucify him." A third time he said it to them. Why? A third time. Can you believe he's begging for the man's life three times? He goes, "There's no charge against him." And you say, "Well, why do you want him dead?" Just because we want him dead, and that's how we want things. Let me tell you what the Bible says, madam and sir. You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. You ain't got long enough arms to box with God. I'll just tell you, at this church, we're repenting of our sin and asking God to move on our behalf. That's all I can tell you. And I hope it's that way all around the world, that pastors are in the pulpits preaching the truth going, "You know what, man? I think it's okay. I really believe it's okay for the church to go, 'You know what? We screwed up. We went a little soft. I think it's okay. I think it's okay that they finally just go, 'You know what? We need to repent. We went a little soft, and I'm asking for forgiveness, Lord. Get us on the straight and get us on the narrow, because we know that broad is the road to destruction.'" Broad. I said broad is the road to destruction. Everybody's going on the road to destruction. I just talked about this with somebody at my farm the other day. I said, "I live in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm not of this world at all. Not at all. Nada, nothing. It can offer me nothing but death." All right, now we're on a roll. Let's get back to the scriptures. It says, I have found no guilt against him deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him. They're going to punish him anyways, just for the heck of it. Just punish him. He doesn't deserve it, but we're going to punish him anyways. Who's punishing who is what I'm going to ask you tonight, church. Who is punishing who right now? Let me tell you something. I know some people that got some short fuses right now because they've been having cabin fever so dang bad. Who's punishing who? God has created us to be free human beings. And when you take away a man or a woman's freedom, you find out who's in charge. You realize right now we're not in charge anymore. Our freedom has been taken away by a lie, and our freedom has been taken away by this pandemic. And it's a disease, and it's a sickness, and it was developed in the depths of hell and Hades. That's where these are where these things are developed from, hell. It comes under the influence of a satanic cults and bad practices. But they were urgent, demanding the loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. Well, I don't know how you look at prevailed, but they got what they wanted. I'll just say that. Verse 24, Pilate decided that their demand should be granted and released the man who had been thrown into prison for the insurrection and murder for whom they asked, but delivered Jesus over to their will. Now listen to what happens. It even gets worse. Just when you don't think that they can heap a bigger curse on themselves, they call down a curse on themselves because they want what they want. And as they led him away and they seized one, Simon of Cyrene, who has come in the country and laid him on the cross to carry it behind Jesus, and they were followed him with a great multitude of people and women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Now watch this. Here's what I'm talking about. Verse 30. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said, say this with me, class, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide up his garments, and the people stood by and watching. And the rulers scoffed at him. He said, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ, listen to how arrogant this gets. This ought to reach the heights to heaven, the stench that got to God's nose here. If he is the Christ, can you imagine the audacity to see Jesus Christ hanging on a tree that he grew and talking to the way the people are talking to him right now? They still talk that way 2,000 years in 2020. They still talk about Jesus that way. And they still talk about Christians that way. And they'll continue till Jesus comes back to rectify the situation in the name. His chosen one, the soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also the inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the criminals who hanged and railed, Pastor Bevo just sung about this. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him and saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself. But the other rebuked him saying, do you not fear God since you are under the same sentence or condemnation, and we indeed justly for what we are receiving, the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong, and he said, Jesus, remember me. Listen to this, class. We're getting towards the end of the sermon today. Verse 42 says, and when he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, and he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, if you're reading out of John chapter 19, verse 30, it would tell you that it is finished. And then if you were reading out of Matthew, you would find out that when he died, he led captives out of the tomb, and they broke out of the tomb, and some of them walked around the holy city. That was to show that there's finally a way for saints to get into heaven. Now, let me talk to you about the two criminals. One was hanged on the one side, and one was hanged on the other. And he says, save yourself and us. And the other one rebuked him and said, don't you fear God. Now let me tell you something, and I'll ask the praise team to come forward, because this is where we put it all together tonight. Isn't that, and I've been saying this for years when I get in the pulpit, isn't that just like Jesus being right smack dab in the middle of a mess? Everywhere. Carl, he everywhere, right smack dab. But there's a key or a trick to this. Actually, let's just call it a key and not call it a trick. Jesus asked this. I didn't know this, but this is something you may have never thought of. Listen to this. It's kind of scary, actually. 23 and 34. Jesus says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You can't get forgiveness unless you ask for it. Because that's something that Jesus just won't do. That's something that God our Father will just not do, who will not impose his will upon you. If you don't want to be forgiven, you don't have to ask for it. Because we obviously know that I'm going to wreck some religion tonight. All through the Bible, it talks about the free will of man. If free will is very scary, it got us where we're at today. Free will got us here. As a series of a lot of bad mistakes, we end up in the middle of a pandemic. You say, Pastor Pat, do you truly believe that the resurrected Jesus Christ can deliver us from this situation? I believe that Jesus Christ can deliver us from any situation, every single one of them. And I'm not even hesitant saying it. Not at all. I don't even question it. You say, well, why are these people dying and all this kind of thing? I'm not God. You don't want me to be able to figure out God, because if I could figure out God, we'd have to hire somebody new. My little mind can't gather around the things of God. I'm very careful about trying to play God as well, I might add. But I want to talk about in the middle. I just want you to say this, in the middle. I want you to know that Jesus is right in the middle of this crisis. Jesus is right in the middle of this, your life. He's right in the middle of your marriage. He's right in the middle of your healing. He's right in the middle of your prayer. He's right in the middle of your life if you ask him for it. You got to invite him back in, Carl. You kicked him out. Don't you remember you kicked him out? We don't want prayer in school anymore. We don't want it because it's disrupting. You want me to tell you what's disrupting now? Look how schools are run now. They're not even open. Think about it for just a second. We may be here for a minute, so stay with me. How about this prayer? How about this prayer tonight? I want Jesus right in the middle of my marriage. And ask him. You have to ask him tonight. God won't impose his will on you. If you don't want to pray and you think you're going to run it and we're going to do all these little tricks and all these little things and we're going to get out of this mess, it ain't going to happen that way. I want Jesus Christ to heal me, this church, this state, this nation, and this world. But it has got to start with me. It's got to start with Pastor Pat. And then that's got to start with you. I have to take personal responsibility that in my house, we're going to serve Jesus Christ. I want him right smack dab in the middle of my home. Would you say that with me tonight? I want him right smack dab in the middle of my marriage. Me and my wife talked about this for hours upon hours last night. These are the kind of things that we dwell in the Bible study room. I want the things of Jesus in my life, in my children's life, in my grandchildren's life, because I know it's the only thing that'll last forever. I'm not going to burn up my time chasing around a bunch of things that don't matter. We have learned a very valuable lesson in the last 5 weeks or so. There's some things that are important. There's some things that just don't make the list. And I bet at the top of your list, if you was to look at what's important, the top of it would be Jesus. Then right after that would be his people. You go, well, what else matters after that? Nothing. Nothing. Say that with me. Nothing matters. Nothing matters. Nothing matters but Jesus. I like to keep things simple. I can remember that Jesus matters and his people. That's the business I'm in. I'm in the Jesus business and I'm in the life business. But this guy here, one guy, he's got a nasty attitude. I told my wife this and she'll tell you this. I said, if I ever develop an attitude like this, here's what I told her. I can't lie. I said, I want you to smack me. That's what I told her. I said, smack me, because I don't ever want to walk around with an attitude like this guy. Listen to what he says. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. You, here's what you got to do. Here's what we're doing. We're giving God orders now. We give God orders. Here's what you need to do, God. It don't work that way. Here's the deal. The squeaky wheel might be squeaking, but the only way you can get God to intervene in this is through his son, Jesus Christ. Because the only thing that's going to wash away this sin pandemic is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the Calvary, at the cross at Calvary. And I'll say amen to it. I don't want this church to ever get so dressed up that we can't tell the truth anymore. The other one rebuked him. He said, man, what you're saying is wrong. Do you not fear God since you're under the same sentence and condemnation? Here's what he said. Pastor Bevo, I want you to listen to this. Pastor Aaron's here so he can teach this to the kids. Jesus, say this with me. Jesus, remember me. Remember me. Hanging on a cross. Remember me when you come into paradise. I was the kid hanging on the cross with the Jesus. I was asking for forgiveness. Do you remember? Jesus not only heard his mouth, but he heard his heart, and he hears your heart today. And he said, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. I guess that's really what Good Friday is all about. The debt has finally been paid. Type that out to everybody that's out there. You guys share that with one another. Your friends share that with friends. Friends share things when it's a good deal. You guys send out the Groupons and go here because the gas is cheap. Here's the deal. I want you to take the deal. Jesus died to save sinners. Take the deal. Let's pray. I really feel like I can feel Jesus tonight in this place, don't you? Father God, I want to ask for forgiveness, Lord God, where we got above our raisin. Lord God, as your church and as Americans, we thought that our way would work. And we finally have realized today, Father God, that our way does not work. It does not work. It never will work. It's never intended to work. And we want to turn from our sin and turn back to you. Remember us today. I'm begging you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, heal your land. And you hear the hearts of everyone who is out on live stream and Facebook. They're begging you tonight on Good Friday. We beg you, Lord, forgive us. Help us get prayer back in school and Bibles back in school and Bible back in politics and in Jesus be the Lord. We realize tonight there is no other king besides King Jesus. And my final plea is for you today who tuned in. Newcomer, new friend. I'm going to talk to you right now. Just, Father God, just speak through me through the power of your Holy Spirit to reach this person. Would you like to receive the free gift of salvation and be delivered from Hades' door? Say, yes, that's me, Pastor Pat. I would love to give my life to Jesus. Then do it. Reach out and say, remember me, Jesus. Just like the criminal, just like the thief on the cross. Jesus is right there in the middle of your life, right there in the middle of your marriage, right there in the middle of your sickness, right there in the middle of your finances. But you have to invite him in. Say, I want you to come into my life, come into my heart. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be Lord of my family's life right now in the name of Jesus. Is that you today? Just say, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus right here on this broadcast, right now. Type it in. Pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. I want Jesus. Say it over and over. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. Oh, it's so sweet to love Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. And we pray all this tonight. His mighty name, and his people said, hallelujah and amen. Glory to the Lamb.